Tesla sales fell 8.5% the first quarter of this year. Ford this week is laying off two-thirds of its workforce at the F-150 electric Lightning plant. It's also scaling back a battery production facility because of sagging sales. EV sales are nowhere near what this president wanted or expected. Yet the administration continues to shove them down consumers' throats. Why?
Well, let's be clear. Consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, you know, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever.
This is mostly a protest, but fires have been started.
Industry is overrun with elite, underqualified, rich, entitled nepo babies.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
I don't know.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation. Russian disinformation.
Your stewards.
I think this is such a fascinating argument that the affable gay transportation secretary is making here, besides kind of the obvious punchline that EVs are the ones that have to be plugged into the wall with a cord. The wireless phone thing is not an apt comparison, simply for that reason. We do not have to plug in our wireless gas-powered vehicles, and never have. Another reason that's interesting about the phone, and I've referenced televisions, for example, that we didn't have to force people into wireless phones. There was no government mandate. There was no heavy taxation on your old phone, for instance. The technology happened, and then it evolved, and it advanced, and everyone just decided this is what we want. Televisions are very much a better example than phones are here. TVs used to be these big boxes, and I've referenced this before in this very debate. They used to be these big boxes, and then eventually flat screens came along, and they were expensive. And only a few people bought them, and then if you were at, say, the Best Buy or the Circuit City, RIP, or wherever you were, Target, you still had the big box televisions that had a flat screen eventually, but then they became thin, and you saw a few, and then eventually you saw more. And eventually the entire market of televisions became thin flat screens because they figured out the pixels on them. They figured out the resolution wasn't bad. It wasn't like a projection screen, which was always the problem. And once they were able to make large format with clear picture, that was the end. Everybody just went to these televisions. I'm sure there's maybe some of you out there that still have the black and white or little boxes or whatever, just for novelty's sake. But this was a technology that wasn't forced. We weren't forced into buying these televisions. I know about how satellites went digital, and so they had to force over to HD programming and HD broadcasting and all of that. But we weren't forced into buying these televisions because the government forced us to, or made a program, or made buying old televisions more expensive under some stupid bullshit excuse of climate or anything. And the same thing happened with the iPhone. The iPhone came out, and people said, that thing's fucking cool. And they bought it. And eventually the competition said, if we're going to want to compete with this, we're going to have to design our phones almost the exact same way. And now whether it's Google, Samsung, the Pixel phone from Google, or the iPhone, they all pretty much look and operate the same. And you can pick up your phone now and you can take it anywhere you want. You're not bound to have it plugged into the wall, I guess, unless you're charging it. Maybe that's what he meant. But when he's sitting here saying that EVs are the future, you shouldn't have to be forcing people into them. And eventually we're going to get to the point to where driving a gas-powered vehicle is just going to be taxed to death. So when you go to register your car, and let's say you have an F-150 truck. Let's say you go to register that car, they're going to make it so expensive to where You don't have the money to even register. And if you can't register it, you can't drive it. They might force insurance companies to charge gas-powered trucks more. Okay, well, now I can't afford insurance on it. It won't matter if the infrastructure is not in place yet. It's not to support an electrical grid. We don't have that. But that's not going to matter. They're going to try to force you into these cars regardless, unless, of course, it's stopped. Do you think that Mayor Pete, Transportation Mayor Pete, and the Biden administration are going to, say, force union truckers into electric trucks when they figure out that they can't get there in time and the speed and the hauling has to be fewer because the battery is not big enough? And so all the union donors go to Biden and they go to Transportation Mayor Pete and they say, we're not fucking driving these and we're going to go on strike. No, they'll get a waiver. They'll get to continue to drive gas-powered trucks. What about you and your family of four or five kids? Do they have EV minivans yet? No. But they're going to push for this ESG carbon neutral shit. Like I said, I think it was Honda or Hyundai, one of those two that does that commercial with that Panda Bear song that I've talked about. That, hey, we're just going to be carbon neutral by 2030, 6 years. We're going to phase out all of our gas-powered cars. Okay, well, no one's going to buy a Honda then. They have this kind of San Francisco-style utopia. And like I said, in Europe, they're testing 15-minute cities to where they think that your vehicle is only for going from here to soccer practice to the store. And they're going to try to kind of mandate that because, again, of climate or whatever. But this is such a fascinating example that I feel whenever I have this debate about electric vehicles, I feel like I'm talking to someone who's still using a landline. Buddy, the technology you're pushing is backwards because it's the car that has to be plugged into the wall with a cord. I hope you're ready for electric costs and people's utility bills skyrocketing, and all of this stuff isn't taken into consideration because they're just going to try to do this. But this, again, is such a fascinating analogy. Noam Blum, a Neon Taster on Twitter X, said you actually had reasons why cell phones were better than landlines. What's the argument in favor of EVs other than they're just newer? And that's right. Right now, I guess Tesla looks cool. They're fun to drive. They're sleek inside. Everything's on a monitor. They're also impossible to change used ownership. And by the way, you can't replace a battery. And what's funny is about Tesla is the federal government is actively fighting the one guy who has actually tried to make EVs practical and cool, Cybertruck aside. Tesla put up this video of the Cybertruck, quote-unquote, off-roading. And it looked like it was just going down a bike path on the side of the road. Like, congratulations, you've reached Subaru status. But again, the one guy that is actually actively looking like he's trying to push this technology forward to where people do want to use it, the federal government, the Democratic Party, is fighting it because they hate his politics. But this all goes back to, like I said, about the iPhone or wall-mounted televisions now. If it really is that cool, you shouldn't have to force people into it. Because people will buy what they want, not what you tell them they need. That was kind of Steve Jobs' entire philosophy. People don't know what they want until you give it to them. And that he made Apple cool. Well, no, the Hyundai zippy car just isn't cool. And it's as simple as that. And again, the one cool thing about EVs is the person that these people pushing this shit hate. It reminded me of the call-in episode we did a while back. Which, for those of you who don't know or remember, Colin was kind of it's sort of like Twitter Spaces, but on its app, and I was on there for a bit. And I had people come in, I'm like, would you buy an electric car? And they said, yeah, sure, if it's practical. People don't care about the climate of technology. If it's practical and it works better, then people will. And right now, we're not there. You heard about, like, these... like science and technology blogs and websites are promoting, oh, this airplane flew, this all-battery-powered, solar-paneled airplane flew for 35 full minutes on wind and solar power and battery alone. And it's one pilot in a glider. Great. Load that thing up with about 150 people and their luggage, and let's see how it goes. You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.